Now watch it. To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour. That the truth to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue anew. I'm going to say that again. The head guys snuck in from Jerusalem to bring the Jerusalem laws to the Galatians, and Paul says in Galatia he was subject to them not even for an hour. He was not subject to them, though they were the heads. They were the apostles. They were setting the rules for the Jerusalem church. It was general headquarters. This was done in Springfield. This is higher than Miami. Fort Lauderdale. This is the top place. And he said, now, when you come to my city and my knees, I set the rules. And he was not subjected to them for an hour. And it tells about how when Pete came, he was stood in their face, for he was to be blamed. We've been reading the book of Acts when Paul went back to Jerusalem. Turn back, look back. Thou seest but how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. But you see, Jerusalem speaks to me now for the moment of that large Christian society, that group that offers security. Thou seest but how many there are that believe. There's also the law that there are thousands of Jews. When I point out thousands of Jews, that means that big offering, Paul. There are thousands of here, and they're in front of these without our coming. When Paul was in his own ground, he stood in the freedom. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Do not entangle again with the yoke of bondage. For if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Galatians 5, 1 and 2. I'm going to read a little bit later the charge that was brought against him in Jerusalem. But you see, my friends, when he was on his own ground, he was free to be led of the Spirit and do what the Spirit said. Now, this is hard. But I know whether you've noticed or not, many means, every once in a while, there are those who will come to put us back under the rules and laws. Have you noticed? Yeah. Now, I try to minimize that, and I try to cut it for you. But I don't know whether you've noticed or not, I will not be subject to them. I'll listen to them, I'll give them, you know, a few minutes to expound and tell what their thing is, and I'll gently set them down just as easy as I can and go on in the freedom and the love that God has shown us to do here in this society. Are you hearing that? I believe that I must, by virtue of the position God's given me as the tutor, not allow anybody to come in here and put us under the bondage of their group or society. Is that all right? And I don't care whether you're Catholic, Lutheran, Protestant, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, help me out, Congregational, who else did I leave out here? Episcopalian, I don't care what you are, you have no right to bring the rules of your society into this society, because this society is not your society. But do you understand that those Judaizers, those guys that came from Jerusalem, thought that they were bringing God? They thought they were doing God a favor by bringing their rules and laws. But the Holy Spirit is moving on the law into the freedom and love and liberty and life of Jesus Christ. Praise God, hallelujah. It makes me feel good. I feel religious every time I say it. It makes me, you know, I realize what God is doing, and he's getting us out. But you know, he's getting us out. It's it's a painful thing. Graduations are painful things. Have you ever noticed the girls crying? We're leaving. Yeah. Security blanket. Come on, Linus. There comes a time, Linus, you have to leave right alone. Let's don't turn back in the life of the blanket again, but let's keep going. Alright, to whom we gave place this injection, no not an hour that the truth of the gospel might continue in you, but of those who seem to be somewhat, whatever they would make it matter to me. God has set as no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But kind of wise, when they saw that the gospel, now this is a very important verse. If you can understand this verse, then the New Testament will start to make sense to you. Till you understand this verse, many things in the New Testament will seem to be in tension and contradiction. The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. When you understand that there were two gospels given to two different apostles, then there is no tension in the New Testament. But how many have read the New Testament and thought, hey, well, this doesn't agree with what something else is over there on the other side of the New Testament? Come on, tell the truth. We've all run across that if you've read very much. But you're going to find out that there's no tension when you find that there are two gospels. Now you have to decide who you are. You're a Jew. If you're a Jew, then you need the gospel and the circumcision. And you need to keep the rules and laws. Praise God for Jesus, but keep Moses' law. Are you a Gentile? Have you come through the righteousness of Jesus Christ? And what do you bring in the Old Testament? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Old Testament. If you'll notice in my Bible, it's marked up just as much as the New. But you see, I use the Old Testament not as a real book, but as a schoolmaster to point me to Christ. To me, the Old Testament, I cannot understand the New without the Old. For the Old was the focus, the fine resolution, to tell me what the New is talking about, because the New is based on the Old. But if there's a New, that means the Old passes away. Come on now. And if we're under the New Testament, why do I go back to the schoolmaster every time that there's a decision in life? But you see, each one of these societies and each one of these groups, and I don't care which one you're in, just name it, the one you're in. That group takes some of the old and some of the new and mixes it together and calls it Christianity. Say, so they're going to Christianity is right and everybody else is wrong. Come on now. Now, I don't know how you know which rules in the Old Testament to keep, because each denomination picks parts, some of those rules, and keeps some of them and throws the others away. And how they know which ones to keep and not which ones to throw away is beyond me. I just don't know. I cannot figure it out. To me, I either got to go, it's one of the, you know, I'm that kind of guy. It's all in heaven. You ought to see me when I attack a bag of potato chips. It's all in heaven. Now, that's the kind of guy I am. It's, you know, just basically, and if I'm going to be in the Old Testament, I'll tell you, if I was an Old Testament Jew, there's no question in my mind at this moment. I didn't have those curls on my forehead. I'd be wearing one of those big hats, and I'd be wearing it at the wedding ball right now. I go, oh, how? No, that's about it. I go, oh, no. I'd never say that if I was one of those guys. I guess that proves that I was not cut out for that. Well, anyway, I wasn't cut out for that, so I've got to go the other way now, and I've got to leave Moses and be under Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And so for that reason, I love each one of the denominations I've been through. I find no fault with any of the grades of school that I've attended. Whether you hear me or not. But to me, my role is not to stay in the same grade over and over again. I can't do that. And you're saying, but my denomination is the one, man, if you just only knew how good we were. Well, you could be right. Maybe you are the ones, but I just haven't met you yet, and I don't know, you know, your society and structure. But up to this point, I'll have to say this. It appears to me that as we go on in God's schooling, that there are fewer in each class. In the natural schooling, and in God's schooling, until finally it's a very narrow road. And finally, there's only one on it. And that's you. Just you and Jesus and yourself? Learning the lessons that you have to do. But you see, There's nothing wrong with being in a big old kindergarten class, or with just cramped by four little kids. And as you keep going, more nutrition keeps pulling them away. Till by the time you're in high school and the 16-year-olds have quit, now that you've graduated, about half the class is gone. Am I discovering? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know what I'm also discovering? Every one of the denominations. No offense, but the first ones are the big ones. And as you keep going down the line for the last 450 years, each one has got smaller. So, did you catch it? Did you see what I'm going to do? And we need to participate in all, for how do you learn calculus till you learn to stay in the lines? You could never differentiate or integrate until you understood staying in the lines. How am I doing, MIT? You got to stay in the lines. You got to understand. Now, the more, the older we get, the more we learn how to break those lines up and get them down to smaller segments. But you got to learn to color the cream and stay in the lines in the first place, or you'll never learn to differentiate or to integrate the calculus problem later on. I'm not teaching calculus here tonight, but I'm trying to show you something. There are not too many who know how to differentiate and integrate here, but that most of us can stay in the lines. Am I saying something to you? We've all learned to stay in the lines. And as we continue to grow in our natural schooling and development, we learn more and more, and there are fewer and fewer who learn those facts. Until you're in graduate school, now you're a doctor, now you're going, you're studying your own course and you're making your own assignments. You're writing your own thesis because you're all by yourself. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. I want some Christian doctors there. I want some people to go all the way. I want some people to have some academic experience and not go back. Oh my. The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision to Peter, for he had wrought affection in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same as mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now when James, Cephas, and John, that's James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the dynamic fellowship that we should go to the heathen and be to the circumcision. Only they were to be, would remember the prayer, the same which I was always failing to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I was stirring to the face, because he was to be one. Now, Peter's in Antioch now, I'm sorry, not Galatia, but in Antioch, but it's still the basic, the same idea as what I was getting at. But before the servant from James did eat, before the servant came from James, he, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles, but men, those Judaizing Christians, those Jews, those guys that came in with spiral leather, you see, when they came, he withdrew himself, separated, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now, Paul says in Galatia, he was subject to them one month an hour. But he says, Pete was subject to them and he went back to the law. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Real structure. And you said the word. When Paul was in Galatia, he would not be subject to them, no more than hour. Now I come back to Acts. Acts chapter 21. Paul's not in Galatia now, he's not on his own ground now, he's back there, Pete and James are ahead. Are you seeing the difference? When you go back, the Bible is very clear. You must keep the rules of that society that you go back to. And don't try to take your freedom back to the kindergarten. You'll mess things up. It's for this reason that I think personally that my ministry is going more and more toward home groups. It's just to the point every time I try to speak, I got my foot in my mouth. And going off in something, I bite my tongue. You know, you just can't do it. It's too tough. Let those who have been called teach that group. And so I told Cuppin just recently, I can't think. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord, verse 20, and said to him, I'm in Acts chapter 21, verse 20, Thou seest, brother, how many Jews there which believe are zealous of the law, They informed thee that thou teachest the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, say they ought not to circumcise the children, neither to walk after the customs. Guilty or not guilty? What is your plea? Paul, are you guilty as charged? Do you say they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs? Galatians 5:2. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you. Nothing. Who said that? Yes, he did. You think Paul's guilty? I think he's guilty. If you want to believe it, then 1 Corinthians 7:18 and Acts 16, verse 3. I'll tell you the same thing, but Paul's guilty. Guilty is charged. What is it therefore? The multitudes must needs come together, for they all hear that thou art come. Do this therefore that we say unto thee. Now verse 4, the Holy Spirit said, and Paul said, I will not. Now I'm over here in verse 23, do therefore that we say unto thee, and who's saying it? Now this is going to be hard on you. The very best elder board you could ever get. I want you to see something, my friends. An elder board is no substitute for the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now there's a time when we need our elders. We need them. But in your maturity, the Bible is very clear, and I want you to hear this very carefully. God said he had put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Is that right? In the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the unity of the faith, till they come to the perfect man. Is that right or wrong? Is that what he said? Mm-hmm. He gave these things till they come to the perfect man. Now I want you to hear it. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, elders, elder boards, he gave them to perfect the church till they come to the perfect man. Absolutely no question about it, and I'm not finding any fault with him. But the fivefold ministry, how many have heard of the fivefold ministry? Possible emergency. The fivefold ministry should have as their goal working themselves out of a job to become the perfect man. See? Now it says very clearly, the church will be led by the elders in the fivefold ministry. I'm not standing against that. Some of you have heard me teach and say, well, he doesn't like the church and the elders. That's not true. If you've heard me teach and heard it right, you've heard me say that I'm not against it. The church will be led by the fivefold ministry. The Bible says it's the sons of God that will be led by the Holy Ghost. The church will be led by a structured society. Men who will hear from God and tell them what to do. But the sons of God will be led by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the heroes of God. They are the sons of God. Are you hearing this difference now? So therefore we find no fault. If you're in the church, you need a hierarchy, and you need an elder, and you need someone to tell you what to do. But if you're going to go out to the mountain alone, if you're going to go to Galatia, Antioch, if you're going to go to all these cities, and do the thing being led of the Spirit, then you can eat sausage. You can be led of the Spirit to do things that back home in Jerusalem are not kosher. You're in trouble for it. You're on trial for it. The Holy Spirit said, don't go back to Jerusalem. Why? It was the same thing as Lot's wife looking back. Going back to the thing that you've been called out of. Listen here, I could prophesy to you tonight and tell every one of you that you're going to hear from your structure calling you back and offering you peace, security, and safety. That's this, brother, how many thousands of people. This is where the action is. This is where the money is. Just conform to our laws. Do this, that. Say unto thee, verse 23. Therefore, men, without a bow in them, I think that's what it says next. Yeah. Verse 24. then take and purify themselves with them, and be charged with them. But then assure their heads, that I may know those things well, they were formed of thee, are nothing. But thou thyself walkest orderly and keepest the law. I'm going to tell you something. Those are something. And he does not walk orderly, and he did not keep the law. Now, that's pretty straightforward. I'm getting so loud, I'm almost preaching. But this is a very important thing to me. I'm all uptight on this. Why? Listen, friends, I've been through this myself. I know this trickery that will come in to mess up our freedom in Jesus Christ and bring us back to traditions and commandments, judgments, statutes, ordinances. Touch not, taste not, handle not, we shall all perish with the using. I sure am thrilled about what Jesus did for me. And I'm out from under all that now. I don't want to go back to it anymore. But it sure is neat to think about all this Jesus. And Lonnie, we don't have to worry about anything anymore. Pension plan. Are you hearing me? Touching the Gentiles which believe they are written and completed, they observe no such thing, say they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and strength and fornication. Then Paul took the man, the next day purifying himself with them, entered the temple to signify. The word signifies play like. Paul played like the accomplishment of the days of purification. The days of purification were not on him. If you don't believe it, go to Numbers chapter 6, verse 2, and tell you all about the Nazarite vow and the days of purification. I'll bet you Paul's belly was full of pygmy. And then, with all the Gentiles right along, just tells you where he'd been. And he hadn't had the time at all, and tells you how much time it takes for the days of purification. He played like, he signified. Can you see it? Therefore, that we say unto thee, a man's playing like. I want you to tell something, once you get caught in this trap, pretty soon you'll be a play like religion. Now that's hypocrisy. Until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Now that's the hardest part of all. Paul the Apostle, who told us about the blood of Jesus Christ, is now going back to the blood of sheep and goats. Can't believe it, but there it is. I'm not trying to follow Paul because I want to see something. When Paul was out doing his thing, fighting the world, and he had his sword drawn, which was the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, fighting the world, and he was successful at this until he found that he was constantly being stabbed in the back by the ones of Jerusalem, the ones that came up. It's hard to fight a war when your own soldiers are dropping bombs on you. It's hard for the Marines to take a beachhead and the 16-inch cannons on the battleships are aimed low and they're hitting the same beachhead. Are you hearing me? And that's exactly what happened to Fort Paul. I'm not finding fault with Paul. He has my sympathy. But I want you to know something else. By the grace of God and all that lies within me, I will not look back. I just can't do it. There's too much ahead. There's too great a going ahead. We can't go back. We've got to go ahead. We cannot look back. Paul looked back and went back to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit said, don't. He said, I will. He said, I'm going to die at Jerusalem. Agabus said, you're going to die at Jerusalem. He said, I'm ready to die. And he did. So it took 15 years because he told the Gentiles, finally died in Rome. From that time on, from this point on, he was bound and never released. Up to this point, Paul was in power. He laid hands on the sick. He would do many wonderful works. He would lay down the blood that fell out of the bed and all that kind of stuff. And he was a man of power. He had, every time the Holy Spirit said, take ship, he had plenty of money. He went back and put the money on the bellhead. After that, he schemed the passage to Rome. You can't believe it. You read a thing, you don't still believe it, because we've gotten the idea that Paul was such a perfect man. I want you to hear me very carefully. I did not say anything was wrong with Jesus. Now, some people, when they hear this lesson, they say, well, you're saying something wrong with the Bible and something wrong with Jesus. I did not. Now, if I said something was wrong with Peter, most of you would agree. Come on, now, how many of them taught that Peter was always getting his foot in his mouth? And, come on. But you won't let, a lot of people will not let you say anything against Paul. Mm-hmm. They'll let you say something against Peter, but not Paul. Especially the evangelicals. But see, Paul is just a man. Just a man like we are. And he needed security. And he turned back to security. And the Holy Spirit goes to the high mountain apart. And we say, no, let's go back to Jerusalem. The high mountain apart is your tabernacle experience. You have no security in tabernacle except through God. So now tonight, I want to pray for you, and I would like, and I'd like to elicit your agreement that every person here will agree with me, at least by a mile ahead, that none of us will turn to pillar of salt, will not look back, will not go back, will go out where we're led. Is that a reasonable prayer request? Will you agree with me? Then stand with me and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear, and we trust you, Lord, for your love and forgiveness in areas that I've made mistakes in here tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll just come. We ask, Lord, now for spiritual eyes that see spiritual things, spiritual ears that hear spiritual words. We pray, Lord, that none of us will have eyes that turn and go back, that want to go back to that thing we've been let out of. But we pray, Lord, that each one of us go ahead and not return to the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's amazing. Lord, I just don't believe anybody hears that way. But Lord, we pray that none of us will go back to Zoar. Turns out it's just a little city. It's not much alone. We pray that we'll go ahead and go to the high mountain with you. Lord, we don't know what's on the high mountain. We do. Maybe Uncle Abraham's there. Maybe something else. We don't know. All we know is the Spirit leads, we'll follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Even if it's the high mountain apart, Lord, are you sure you got a table up there? Can we prepare a table up on the high mountain in a wilderness experience? Can we trust you, Lord, for our children, our families? Can we trust you, Lord, for the mortgage payments? It sure was neat when we went through the Red Sea. Sure it was nice when we climbed up over on the other side. Pillar of fire, cloud. Sorry about those Egyptians. I guess you can prepare a table for us on the high mountain in the wilderness, even in the presence of our enemies. So we'll go all the way with you, Lord. We'll take our tabernacle experience. We will not neglect our friends. We will not neglect the assembling of ourselves together, as a man or son is. But we realize that in this realm, things have changed. We're not looking to each other for leadership or guidance anymore. We're looking to the Holy Ghost. We trust the Lord that this lesson will be received in the love and the Spirit that it is, and it's not offensive to anyone. And no matter where we are, that it will be a help and a benefit, even to those who have just said yes to Jesus last week. We trust you that this will show us that there are goals, yet many, many things to learn, and we'll each go ahead in Jesus Christ until finally we become manifest sons of God. And I love to believe that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.